Okay. On to the next slide. Okay. So say Leilam.
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 And that means karmic path. So these are the four parts to make a complete karma. And we'll go through it with the example of killing. You can do this for any of the 10 non-virtues. So, and these are also in your reading. They're from Jason Kappa's Lam Rim Chenmo. So, four parts to a path of action. The first, say she.
She.
Second is Sampa.
Sampa.
Third is Jorwa.
Jorwa.
Fourth is Tartuk.
Tartuk.
She, Sampa, Jorwa, Tartuk.
She, Sampa, Jorwa, Tartuk.
I feel like I've heard these many, many times, these words. Do these sound familiar to anyone else?
Jorwa sounds very familiar.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, so she is basis. And this means the object involved. So in the example of killing, this would be the person you killed, a living being. In Tibetan, this does mean basis, but that doesn't really land with us. So we're calling it the object involved. So what would be the basis for wrong worldview? Like, what would be the object involved for having wrong worldview?
Like, whatever we believe is happening self-existently?
In a way, yes. It would be like karma, the laws of karma. Like, I think this is happening on its own. Not really. It's happening because of laws of karma. So it would kind of be the opposite of that.
Oh, so like when you think like, oh, I'm breaking out because of sugar, that's the basis, like the sugar.
That's
is the wrong
ignorance.
Or the breaking out is the wrong worldview.
Not thinking of.
Or the thought is the wrong worldview.
Yeah.
The thought is the object.
So, the object involved for having wrong worldview would be like not thinking that that's coming from karma. For coveting, it would be other people's personal good qualities. Like, that's what we would be wanting. Like, I'm not happy that this person got that. So that would be the object involved. I don't think it doesn't completely land with me either, but this is how it's presented.
But that kind of makes sense because body, speech, and mind, and so killing, the basis is like a body, and then for like wrong worldview or coveting, the basis is a thought.
Yeah.
And then for like lying or
speech,
the basis, would it be what you're saying or would it be who you're saying it to? Or that's maybe where this gets fuzzy.
Well, let's go through them and see if it becomes clear, because number two, Sampa, is the thinking involved, or our intention or motivation. So, did we kill with premeditated anger or accidentally while we were trying to help someone, or accidentally while we were driving? So, the second one is mainly intention. The third one, Jorwa, is undertaking the deed, taking the weapon, and going after the person. I think it's easiest if we stick with the killing for the example. Then the fourth, Tartuk, is completing the deed. We collect the karma when the person actually dies. We could shoot someone and they're in the hospital and they're not dead yet. and then they die a month later, that's when we would collect the karma. The full karmic seed would be full deed, full powerful. So all four of these make a complete karma. Attempted murder would be if the person didn't tartuk. They didn't complete the deed. That would be attempted murder.
So we would still collect karma, it just wouldn't be as powerful, or it wouldn't be for killing. Because you're like, if you stab someone a bunch of times, even if they don't die, you're still harming life.
Yeah, you are. But this is a way to think about it. And this is kind of the idea with the vows too. Like completely breaking the vow. There's different levels of it. But yeah, with doing the deeds, if we do 1, 2, and 3, there's still going to be karma there. But this is talking about like a full karma, full power. If we don't do all of them, it's going to be a little less.
But like you were saying, if you were trying to help someone and you accidentally kill them, would that be undertaking the deed? Or, I mean, because you're not really doing it intentionally?
If you accidentally kill them, that would still, you would still have killed them. That would still be the completing.
Okay.
Undertaking the deed would be like when you're actually accidentally running over them. So in number 4, there's different kinds of, no, not in number 4. In number 2, there's different kinds of motivation. So we'll go over those. And that's kind of where that comes in.
So you'll still get, so like even if the motivation is different, like an accident versus intentional, you still get a result that will probably be suffering unless you purify it. But the kind of result and the magnitude of the result
will vary.
Will change,
yeah. So this goes for good things too. It's going to be a lot more powerful if we have all 4 of these for the good things that we're doing. And as we've talked about before, like how to plant a really powerful karmic seed so that we for sure see the result, using all of these. I feel like we've gone through these before in a different way in this course too.
We went through them.
Yeah. So all 4 of these make a complete karma. Attempted murder, we already said that, would be if the person didn't tartuk. So these were come from Master Asanga. If they came from Master Asanga, where would they have come from ultimately, these teachings? Remember? Yes. So ultimately from Lord Maitreya, who gave them to Master Asanga, and then Master Asanga brought them to us. Okay, so now we're going to go back to the 3 kinds of Sampa, which are, I think I have another slide for this. 3 kinds of Sampa. I love this. It's so cute. Can you guys read it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Look how cute the cat is. Okay, so kinds of sampa or thinking involved. Say dushi.
Dushi.
Nyanmang.
Nyanmang.
Kunlang.
Kunlang.
Dushi, Nyanmang, Kunlang.
Dushi, Nyanmang, Kunlang.
So the first one is correct identification. Second one is bad thoughts. Third is motivation or intention. So the motivation or intention goes back to what you're talking about with like involuntary manslaughter, accidentally killing someone. Correct identification is the person you kill, the one you intended to kill. The second, bad thoughts, were you under the control of attraction, dislike, or ignorance when you committed the deed? We can parallel this very easily with our justice system, too. There's different punishment. Like, we can think of that when we're thinking of karmic deeds, too. There's different punishment if you meant to do it. And if it was premeditated, too. I don't know the justice system that well, but I know those things from
TV.
Cop movies and shows. Yeah, and TV shows. And then Kunlong motivation or intention. Did you want to kill or was it an accident? And this is where euthanasia is very tricky when we look at these. So if we understand, ultimately, if we understand karma, we're never going to do anything other than be kind. That's what we want to get out of learning about karma. And it's an interesting thing because based on the way our society works, we'll look like we're being walked all over, taken advantage of, or, you know, people say, like, stand up for yourself, do this, do that, because it seems they're coming from a place that's not from wisdom. Any harm we do to someone else, it's coming back to us as a harm. Any harm we see, it's because we planted the seeds for it. That's it. So if we're seeing harm, if we want to see harm again, we do harm back. If we're seeing harm, if we don't want to see that anymore, then we act with kindness. If we keep reacting in kind, that's how we're going to see the result again and again and again. So if we see kindness, we want to be kind back if we want that. Whatever we put out there is what we're going to get back. And whatever we've put out there in the past is what we're seeing. So if we see someone or something that makes us angry and doesn't make sense, perpetuating that anger, acting on it again and again, will ensure that we see the same thing over and over and over, that we'll just be stuck in the cycle. So courses like this, talking about karma over and over, even if we're not fully getting every single thing we're talking about because there's so many different parts we're going into, it's still chipping away at the, you know, the ignorance block. And the more we do that, the more we lead a happier life, really. And then we're able to help other people around us. We see people who are happier around us. So there's no negative. With anger, I think it's especially true and really pervasive in our society that someone does you wrong, you get revenge, you do it back. Which even saying that or thinking that, you can get the sense that there's something wrong with it. It's just not going to lead to anything that we want. We think it does, but it doesn't. Never. Every time we do harm, harm comes to us. That's it. It doesn't hurt the other person, it hurts us. So it may look like we're hurting the other person in the moment, but we don't really know who they are. We don't really know what their experience is. But in a sense, we are hurting them. It's not pleasant for us either, and we're planting the seed to have an unpleasant in the future. There's nothing good that comes from it. If it feels good, if we're happy, it's from some happiness in the past. It has nothing to do with that. Only bad comes from doing something bad to someone else. All right. Oh, cool. Last little bit. So, I think, did I put these all in? No, I didn't. Okay. So basically, there's the object involved, the intention, then undertaking the deed and completing it. It's pretty straightforward in that way. Object involved, intention, undertaking the deed, completing it. And I haven't thought about these deep enough to totally understand how all the different of the 10 non-virtues would work as the object involved or the basis. So for wrong worldview, Makes sense that that karma would be the basis for coveting other person's good qualities. I think that makes sense, actually. So coveting, the basis is other people's good qualities. The thinking involved or the intention would be, I want that. They have that. I don't think they should, and I want it. I deserve it. And then maybe undertaking the deed for that would be taking whatever they have or trying to take it. And then completing the deed would be, if I remember correctly, I think it's technically where they, it's when they know that you've taken something from them, is when the deed's actually completed, if I remember right from the vows. But that's how I would think of it in relation to coveting. To wrong worldview. I'm not totally sure on these. I'm just thinking it through right now. The basis.
I think it's also in liberation and
I bet it is.
Yeah.
Talking about this.
Yeah, like it goes through each one, I think.
Okay. So, one last thing. So what's the difference between a karma and a karmic path? Say lele kilam.
Lele kilam.
Lele kilam.
Lele kilam.
That means karma or path of karma, karmic path. So a path of karma or action motivates the mind to shift to its object. For example, the three bad deeds of mind. Do you guys know what those are?
Hatred, desire,
ignorance. Of the, out of the 10 non-virtues.
Oh, of the mind?
Mm-hmm.
Wrong worldview, coveting, and ill will.
Mm-hmm. So, those are, so the three bad deeds of mind, the ill will, craving, wrong worldview, are a path of karma because they motivate the movement of the mind to shift to a new object. And they motivate the mind to move, which is karma. So the seven non-virtues of speech and body are karmas. They provide an opportunity for the movement of the mind to act themselves out.
So then, in wrong worldview, ill will, and coveting, it's not actually a karma because there's no...
Like they're like, motivating the karma. Yeah. They're just the movement of the mind.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So like how would that... Maybe this is like a silly question. Like, how would it ripen then if it's not, if it's just a path, karmic path, and not a karma? It would ripen, I guess, in the other.
You mean like how does it actually work if it's not a karma?
Yeah, like oftentimes, most of the time, I have like a thought of anger, but I won't act on it. So, how is that ripening? I guess like
how is it planting a new seed?
Yeah, how is it planting a new seed then?
It's not necessarily planting it.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's like such good news.
Yeah. If you're not acting on it.
Right.
In some way, because the movement of the mind and what follows. So how I understand it, karma is also a movement of the mind,
mm-hmm.
but it's like that's just a past seed ripening. Like, if we pay attention enough, we have some crazy thoughts that come up.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, oh my God, where did this come from? Like, horrible things sometimes.
Yeah.
That's not planting a new karmic seed. until we're doing something from that. So that's how we can get out of the cycle.
Yeah, that's great news.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is. So until we, so maybe the difference would be crazy thought comes up. Okay, that's crazy thought. And you let it go up and you let it go. That's it. You're not planting another seed. You're actually planting a seed close to wisdom. Like, oh, that's a karmic seed that I don't ever want to see again. Yeah. I'm going to let it go. As opposed to crazy thought comes up. That's right. I do need to go kill that person. And then you go and you act out the whole thing. Which is extreme, but, you know. Or like, yes, I need to yell at that person right now. I have to flip that person off right now. Acting on it then is... Or even, I think, just thinking, this is right. I need to do that. And then maybe you don't have the guts to do it or something. Still karmic seed. Karmic seed.
Or like if you mentally go through all of this, because you know how sometimes you fantasize about like telling that person off, but you don't actually do it in real life.
Yes.
But like, it's, my mind has made it pretty darn real to the point where it actually feels like it has happened.
Yeah.
I bet that is planting something.
I think so. I'd say so. But not nearly as strong as if you're actually doing it. But also a lot stronger than if the thought comes up and you're just like, that's interesting, and you just let it go. Because I think we have this thing where we think our thoughts are so important, and they're true, and they're right, and they're not. They're habits from the past. You know, sometimes it's not that we don't have any wisdom, but a lot of times I don't think our wisdom's in the thoughts.
Especially if you track them, you know, and you look back, or you just start to feel the waves of the thoughts, you know? Like, before you have that experience, I think it does feel like you have to trust everything.
Yes.
That's how I felt. Like,
until you realize that they're not you. That's not who you are, those thoughts.
Yeah.
Like,
and then they just change all the time. Yeah.
Yep. And also, it's good news, too, because of those crazy thoughts. If we are our thoughts, then we are those thoughts, those terrible thoughts that we have too. And it's also, we can see it in the way we automatically go to the wrong, to wanting to do the wrong thing. That the thoughts are not true. Like I had, and this is someone I like at work too. I was like doing my work and she came up to ask me for something, which is my job to help people. And I'm trying to be a bodhisattva. I should want to help them. You know, I don't all the time. But, and I like this girl, and she came up, and there was, like, some irritation that came up, like, what do you want? Yeah. And I don't know how much it came out, but it came up. And so that's, that just coming up, not necessarily planting another seed, unless I then go, like, and, like, act with it and see, like, you know, like, yeah. Which I didn't, but in some way I acted on it a little, and we can tell that when we're pushing it along, as opposed to it just coming up and me not doing anything. We can feel the difference. So the seven non-virtues of body and speech are karmas. They provide an opportunity for the movement of the mind to act themselves out. So karma is a movement of the mind. The mental functions, the mental functions which follow the mind, such as anger, love, etc., are not karma. There's a big debate about this, though. The mental functions which follow the mind, such as anger, love, etc., are not karma. But apparently there's a big debate about this. The movement of the mind is not karma. They are a path of karma. So they're leading there. So these 10 bad deeds are not a list of 10 bad karmas. What's a path of karma but not a karma are those last three. What's a path of karma and karma are the seven. A of body and speech. This one, I think, is something we need to just cook a little bit. And a lot of times, verbally, when we're talking about these things, they don't make much sense. They seem like really slippery and tricky. But then if we sit and do an analytical meditation, the way they are can come pretty quickly. That's what I find. Like when I'm saying these things, makes sense, but not totally. And if I sit with it, then it does. Okay. So basically, we can just boil all the teachings down to kindness. If we're acting out of kindness all the time, we're going to be doing what we need to be doing. There's all these different layers and all these different ways to look at it, and it's good to learn all these things. And then if we remember compassion and kindness, we act from those, most likely we won't do any wrong. And all these things we're talking about are still happening, but it's not like we need to be aware of them all the time. It can just help to deepen our understanding of how the world is working. Okay, it's 8:30. Oh, it's 8:27 on my computer. Are there any questions before we end? We have a few minutes.
Do you have any good resources for, like, outside of liberation, the palm of your hand, for the 10 non-virtues? Like, additional reading?
Oh. The only other one that comes up, which is very similar, but is the Lama Rinpoche.
Okay.
By Jade Tsongkhapa.
Okay.
That one's, it's a little more dense.
Yeah.
But it's really good if you already know it.
Yeah.
The examples he uses, he presents it a little differently.
Okay.
So it's really helpful. Okay. That's the main one that comes to mind. Do you have some other book you were thinking of?
I have one by Thich Nhat Hanh. It's a long rim, but I can't remember. I remember him going through it, but I don't really remember specifics. But it's a different school, so.
I bet His Holiness has something.
Oh, yeah, probably.
But I haven't seen it in his. Have you seen it? Anything in the books you have?
There's a How to Be Happy one that might be published years ago.
Yeah.
Maybe something like that.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't really talk about the vows a lot that I've seen.
Like a very secular way.
Yeah. He'll talk about, like, not lying or that sort of thing, but he doesn't seem to do a lot of lists, although he does in his writing. He covers everything. He's a really amazing writer.
So I have a question there, because you talk about, like, different lamas, masters, and those other geshes.
Uh-huh.
So they're all teaching. I mean, it's all from the same thing, but it's their interpretation, or they're just like, how does that work?
Not necessarily their interpretation. It's the... You could say that, but it's not like they're changing the teachings.
No, but they're just teaching it in their own way or in their own words or...
And for their own culture and their own time.
Okay.
Because, like, the sutras, which were the words of the Buddha, we can't understand those at all. Like, he says, like, one thing. He doesn't explain anything, and he expects... Like, we would understand, we wouldn't. People in that time who were alive then had the karmic seeds to be there. Mm-hmm. They understood from that, but...
But even, like, the Tibetans wouldn't...
Nope.
...understand
no.
those teachings?
No. I mean, like, after we've studied all the commentaries...
Mm-hmm.
And brought it down to a point where someone's explaining it more, we can understand all of it. And then if we went back, we might understand what the Buddha says. But just from that, it's like he says like two words and then there's like a whole book written on it or something. So does that answer what you're asking?
Yeah.
And it's not that it's not really that we're dumb, but in a way we just don't have those same karmic seeds to be, have the actual Buddha teaching us and to have that cause like a huge realization. We just don't, we don't have those same seeds. We, our seeds are amazing and our lives are amazing, but it is the age of degeneration that we're in. So it's not the same as having the historical Buddha here teaching us.
If you were like a Buddhist monk, you would reach like enlightenment a lot quicker than someone, like, right?
Not necessarily.
You would learn the teachings quicker? No?
Nope, not necessarily. Could be, but, you know, it depends on your individual karmic seeds. So we can reach enlightenment in this lifetime just the same as any monk or nun or, you know, anyone else. And they have they made a different commitment? For sure they have.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of virtue in that. But there's also, there's all different types of paths that are right for all different people. And it's not accurate to think that we would be way further ahead if we were in a monastery. The same stuff would just come up there. I mean, we wouldn't have a job and those sorts of things, but there would just be other things. And I think there is virtue to being able to have that sort of life, but I have no wanting for that sort of thing at all. I like the idea of practicing in life, in like the world. And for some people, they don't like that. So it's not that it's, I'm not saying that it's not a good thing to do, but there's in no way would it ensure reaching enlightenment. Because maybe you're just in the monastery and as materialistic as ever, or you're sitting meditating every day, never even on the object at all. Whereas maybe one of us, we're sitting in the morning and we're on our object powerfully, and then we go through our day mindfully. So, or maybe we're sitting, one of us is sitting and spacing out every day and spacing out the whole time, and someone in a monastery is like on their object for that hour or whatever. So, no, not the case. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Let's do prayers.
Sashi Puki Chukshing Me Tok Chan Rira Bling Shin Yen Degen Padi Sangye Shingdu Mikte Uwargi Joku Namdak Shingla Chuparshok Yidam Guru Radna Mandalaka Niryatayami Gewadi Gewokun Sunam Yeshe Sok Sok Shing Sunam yeshe le junwe dampa kunito parshu.